Imagine getting medical treatments that are like as unique as your fingerprint, tailored to your DNA. That's the future. Personalized medicine is painting for folks with hemophilia. You've given us some seriously in-depth stuff to dig into today. Research papers, even parts of a doctor thesis. So our mission in this deep dive is to help you really grasp how this cutting-edge research is changing the game for hemophilia treatment.
What's really fascinating is that we're moving away from that one-size-fits-all model of medicine
Right.
and starting to embrace the fact that everyone's body is different
Yeah.
and reacts to treatment in its own way.
Right. And that's especially important with hemophilia, a condition that can vary wildly from person to person. But before we jump into the deep end, maybe we should quickly recap what hemophilia is
Sure.
and how it throws a wrench in the body's blood clotting system.
Absolutely. You see, our blood needs these special proteins called clotting factors to stop bleeding when we get injured. People with hemophilia are missing or have low levels of these clotting factors,
Right.
which makes them prone to bleeding for longer
And there are
periods.
different types. It's
Yes.
like hemophilia A and B.
That's right.
Okay.
The most common types are A and B, caused by deficiencies in factor 8
Okay.
and factor IX, respectively.
Got it.
And it's not just about what type you have, but also how severe it is.
Right.
Severe cases often experience spontaneous bleeding, even without any obvious injury,
Wow.
while milder cases might only notice excessive bleeding after an injury or surgery.
That makes sense. Now, I'm curious about how treatment has evolved over time. I know in the past, the main approach was to replace the missing clotting factors, right?
Exactly. For severe cases, that often involves prophylactic therapy,
Okay.
which means regular infusions of factor concentrates to keep those levels topped up and prevent bleeding. For milder cases, on-demand treatment is more common, where you only get those concentrates when you have a bleed.
So back in the day, treatment decisions were mainly based on how severe the hemophilia was and the person's weight. But now, with personalized medicine, we're getting way more precise, aren't we?
We are, and it's crucial because two people, even with similar factor levels, can react totally differently to the same treatment.
Yeah.
It's like assuming everyone who wears a size 10 shoe has the same size feet.
Right.
Obviously not true.
Perfect analogy. It seems like personalized medicine is all about recognizing that one size fits all doesn't cut it when it comes to something as complex as blood clotting.
Exactly. Traditional dosing based only on weight misses the big picture of how an individual's body processes
Yeah.
in response to a drug. We need to consider both pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics.
Ah, yes, those two terms. Now, I know we've touched on them before, but for folks who might be new to this, could you give us a quick refresher?
Of course. Think of it like this. Pharmacokinetics is basically mapping a drug's journey through your body.
Okay.
It's about how your body absorbs the drug, where it goes, how it breaks it down, and eventually gets rid of it.
So it's the drug's adventure through your system.
Exactly. Pharmacodynamics, on the other hand, is all about what that drug does once it reaches its destination.
Okay.
How does it interact with your cells and tissues? What are its effects?
Right.
It's like understanding the drug's job description once it arrives at the work site.
That makes it much clearer. So, personalized medicine is trying to understand both sides of this coin,
Yes.
the drug's journey and its actions for each individual.
Precisely. It's about finding the most effective treatment while minimizing any unwanted side effects.
You mentioned something called pharmacometric modeling in one of the papers.
Yes.
It sounds a bit like science fiction.
It might sound futuristic, but it's actually becoming a reality. Think of it like this. You're probably familiar with those weather apps that use complex models to predict the forecast, right?
Sure. Pharmacometric modeling is similar, but instead of predicting the weather, it predicts how a drug will behave in your specific body.
So instead of looking at the clouds, we're looking at your genes and how your body processes things.
You got it. We take information like your age, weight, even your genetic makeup, and plug it into mathematical models to create a virtual you, a digital twin, and simulate how you'll respond to different treatments. This helps us figure out the best dose and timing of medications to get the best results.
One of the studies actually used machine learning to analyze how different variations in a particular gene, the F8 gene, impacted a patient's response to a drug called desmopressin. This drug can stimulate the release of stored factor 8, which is deficient in hemophilia A. The researchers found that some genetic variations meant the drug was less effective, while others meant it was even more effective.
That's a great example of how personalized medicine is moving us away from guesswork and toward a more precise approach.
Right. By understanding these individual differences, we can make sure each patient is getting the right treatment at the right dose.
It's like having a personalized roadmap for each person's treatment journey, right?
Absolutely. And a big part of that journey is something called PK-guided dosing, which takes this personalized approach even further.
Okay, let's talk about that. What exactly is PK-guided dosing, and what are the potential benefits?
With PK-guided dosing, we're essentially fine-tuning the treatment based on real-time data from your body.
Okay.
We start by giving you an initial dose of the clotting factor concentrate, and then take a few blood samples at specific times to see how your body is processing it. It's like taking snapshots of the drug's journey through your system.
So you're creating a personalized profile.
Yes.
Of how that drug behaves in that particular person's body. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And we use that profile to calculate the exact dose and timing for any future doses. Studies have shown that this can really improve outcomes, like hitting those target factor levels more consistently and reducing the risk of bleeding complications.
Speaking of studies, you included some fascinating information about the Two Wins study.
Yes.
Which looked at PK-guided dosing in people with von Willebrand disease undergoing medical procedures.
Yes. The Two Wins study was a real eye-opener because it put this personalized approach to the test in a variety of real-life scenarios.
Yeah.
They included patients with different types of von Willebrand disease,
okay,
which is another bleeding disorder like hemophilia,
right,
but it can affect both men and women. And these patients were scheduled for all sorts of procedures, from simple dental work to more complex surgeries.
So it wasn't just focused on preventing everyday bleeding,
right,
but also managing bleeding during those critical medical events.
Exactly. Before each procedure, the patients had a special pharmacokinetic profiling,
yeah,
where they got a standard dose of a concentrate called Himate P, which contains both von Willebrand factor and factor VIII. Then, blood samples were taken at different times to track how their bodies were handling these clotting factors.
So they were building that personalized blueprint we talked about,
mm-hmm,
showing how the clotting factors were moving through their system.
Precisely. That data was then plugged into a model to figure out individual dosing plans for each patient during their procedure.
It wasn't a set it and forget it situation.
Right.
They were actually adjusting the doses throughout the procedure based on how each person was responding in real time.
You got it. The model considered things like what kind of procedure they were having,
right,
how much blood loss was expected, and of course, their individual pharmacokinetic profile. This dynamic adjustment helped ensure they had just the right amount of clotting factors throughout the procedure.
That's a remarkable level of personalized care. And it sounds like it really paid off because the study found that most patients achieved their target factor levels and had very few bleeding complications.
It did. Both patients and doctors were happy with the results of this PK-guided approach. But the study also revealed an unexpected twist, something called time-dependent clearance. The researchers noticed that the way a patient's body clears those clotting factors can actually change over time.
Oh, even within the same individual.
Hold on. So it's not just that each person is different, it's that their own body's response can change.
That's right. They saw that the clearance of both von Willebrand factor and factor VIII could decrease over time, especially after a medical procedure. It's like the body might be holding on to those clotting factors a bit longer.
Yeah.
After a stressful event.
That's fascinating. So even with personalized dosing, there's still this element of change.
Yes.
And the need for ongoing monitoring and adjustment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It just goes to show how complex these bleeding disorders are and how important it is to have a treatment approach that adapts to the individual.
Right.
And their ever-changing needs.
Now, I know the TOWIN study focused on a specific type of concentrate, Himate P.
Yes.
But one of the research papers you shared delved deeper into how the relationship between von Willebrand factor and factor VIII affects treatment in general.
Ah, yes, that study really highlighted the intricate dance between those two clotting factors.
Remember how we talked about von Willebrand factor acting like a chaperone?
Uh-huh.
For factor VIII,
mm-hmm,
protecting it from breaking down too quickly.
Right.
Well, this study found that the clearance of factor VIII is directly linked to the level of von Willebrand factor present.
Okay, so if someone has low von Willebrand factor,
yes,
their factor VIII is going to disappear from their system faster.
Exactly.
Mm.
And that means traditional dosing methods. which often don't consider this connection.
Right.
Might not be enough to keep factor VIII levels where they need to be, especially in people with von Willebrand disease who already have low levels of von Willebrand factors.
So it's like trying to fill a bathtub with a leaky drain. Mm-hmm. You need to keep adding more water just to maintain the level.
I love that analogy. And yeah. That's where personalized dosing, informed by this understanding of their relationship, can ensure people are getting the right amount of factor VIII to keep that clotting system working properly.
It's amazing how these studies are uncovering new layers of complexity. It's like this time-dependent clearance. It seems like the more we learn, the more we realize we need to move away from those one-size-fits-all approaches.
You're absolutely right. Each new finding emphasizes the need for a more tailored approach that considers not just the individual, but also their evolving needs over time. And this study on time-dependent clearance also brought up some interesting economic considerations.
All right, because healthcare costs are always a factor. What did they find?
Well, while PK-guided dosing showed great promise in improving outcomes,
yeah,
it didn't necessarily lead to cost savings, at least not for that initial dose.
Okay.
It's important to remember that healthcare isn't just about cost. It's about value.
So in this case, the value lies in getting better outcomes.
Exactly.
Fewer complications.
Yes.
Potentially shorter hospital stays.
Yeah.
And a better quality of life for patients.
Exactly. It's about shifting the focus from simply managing a disease to truly optimizing someone's health and well-being.
Okay, we've talked a lot about pharmacokinetics and dosing. But one of the papers mentioned a study that dug into how different genetic variations in the F8 gene, the one responsible for factor VIII production, could impact the effectiveness of desmopressin.
Yes, that study was fascinating.
Yeah.
They analyzed data from over 1,400 patients with non-severe hemophilia A who had undergone desmopressin testing. It was a huge data set which gave them a lot of statistical power.
That's a lot of data points. What did they find?
Well, their goal was to see if there were any connections between specific genetic variations in the F8 gene and how well people responded to desmopressin. And they found some pretty significant correlations.
Okay.
For instance, some variations were linked to a much lower increase in factor VIII levels after taking the drug.
So for those folks, the standard dose might not be enough. They might need a higher dose or even a different medication altogether.
Precisely. But they also found variations that were associated with a much higher increase in factor VIII levels.
Wow. So for those people, the standard dose could actually be too much, potentially increasing their risk of complications.
That's exactly the kind of insight that personalized medicine can offer. By understanding these individual genetic differences, we can fine-tune treatment plans to be safer and more effective.
Another study focused on developing a pharmacokinetic model specifically for factor VIII concentrates.
Uh-huh.
Those medications that directly replace the missing factor VIII in people with hemophilia A.
That's right. And they didn't just want to predict how factor VIII levels would change over time after an infusion. They also wanted to understand how those changing levels impacted actual blood clotting.
Because ultimately, it's not just about the numbers. It's about how well the blood can actually clot to prevent bleeding.
Exactly. To assess that, they used a specialized test called the Nijmegen hemostasis assay, or NHA.
Can you explain what that test does?
Sure.
I have to admit, I'm not familiar with it.
Think of it like a really sophisticated blood test. It goes beyond just measuring factor levels. It actually simulates the entire clotting process in a lab setting to see how effectively the blood can form a clot.
So it's a much more comprehensive way to look at clotting function.
It is. And by combining this NHA data with the pharmacokinetic model, the researchers were able to predict not only how factor VIII levels would change, but also how those changes would impact the actual clotting process.
That's incredible. It's like having a roadmap of how the treatment is going to affect the entire clotting cascade.
It really is. And it highlights the power of personalized medicine in helping us find that sweet spot for each patient, enough factor VIII to effectively prevent bleeding, but not so much that it increases the risk of other problems.
It's about finding that perfect balance. And speaking of balance, one of the papers touched on the role of AI in this field.
Right.
Specifically, it explored the potential of ChatGPT, that chatbot everyone's talking about.
Yes, that study piqued my interest as well. The researchers wanted to see if ChatGPT, with its amazing ability to understand and generate human-like text, could be useful in creating and analyzing those complex mathematical models that are so crucial for personalized medicine.
So could ChatGPT actually help design personalized treatment plans? I have to admit, that sounds a bit far-fetched.
I know, it's a wild idea, right?
Yeah.
But the results were pretty amazing. They gave ChatGPT a specific challenge: create a population pharmacokinetic model for factor VIII. And guess what?
What?
It actually generated functional R code for that model.
Hold on. The chatbot wrote computer code.
Yes.
Code that actually worked.
You heard that right. It was able to take the research team's instructions and translate them into the precise language of mathematical modeling. It was almost like having a virtual research assistant.
Okay, but how would that be useful in real life?
Okay.
But how would that be useful in real life? I mean, it's cool that a chatbot can write code, but how does that translate into better treatment for people with hemophilia?
Developing these pharmacokinetic models takes a lot of expertise and time. ChatGPT could potentially speed up that process significantly, freeing up researchers to focus on other aspects of personalized medicine.
So it's like having a superpowered assistant that can crunch numbers and build models much faster than a human could.
That's a great way to think about it. And the study didn't stop there. They also found that ChatGPT could create a Shiny app to visualize the results of the model.
Shiny apps.
Yeah.
Remind me what those are again.
They're basically interactive web applications that allow you to explore data and see complex relationships in a user-friendly way.
So, instead of just looking at a bunch of numbers on a spreadsheet, doctors could use this app to see how different factors are impacting a patient's response to treatment.
Exactly. And because it's interactive, they can adjust different parameters and see how those changes would affect the predicted outcome.
That's incredible. So ChatGPT could not only help build the model, but also create a tool that clinicians could use in real time to make more informed treatment decisions.
That's the long-term goal. But it's important to remember that AI is still a tool. And like any tool, it has its limitations.
Right.
We can't just blindly trust what a machine spits out.
Right. It's about using AI to enhance human expertise, not replace it altogether. We still need doctors to interpret the data and make the final call.
Absolutely. Human oversight, critical thinking, and careful validation are crucial, especially when we're talking about something as important as people's health.
This whole deep dive has been mind-blowing. We've gone from the basics of hemophilia to exploring the cutting edge of personalized medicine. It's amazing to see how rapidly this field is evolving.
What's truly exciting is that these advancements aren't just theoretical. They're already making a real difference in the lives of patients.
And that's what it's all about, right? So what does this all mean for the future of hemophilia care? Where are we headed?
Imagine a future where treatment isn't a one-size-fits-all approach, but a journey tailored to your unique needs. A journey guided by data, technology, and a deep understanding of your individual biology.
A future where patients are empowered to make informed decisions alongside their healthcare providers.
Precisely. As research continues to unravel the complexities of bleeding disorders, we can expect even more precise and effective treatments on the horizon.
This deep dive has hopefully sparked your curiosity about the possibilities of personalized medicine. There's a wealth of information out there for those who want to learn more. And as we've learned today, this field is moving fast.
Remember, knowledge is most valuable when it's understood and applied. So take what you've learned today, ask questions, and engage in conversations with your healthcare providers. Together, we can shape the future of healthcare, a future where treatments are as unique as the individuals they're designed to help.